Now, businesses are holding their breath about what 2021 will bring. Many workers are still on furlough. The impact of vaccines is yet to be felt on infection numbers, and many firms are pushing back the dates when they're planning to reopen their offices, if they do at all. In her yearly predictions, global trends boss Marion Saltzman suggests some companies are reassessing whether working hours and the working week are, well, working for any of us, and she joins me now. Marion, very good morning to you. What would you say employers and employees have actually learned from the past year?
Well, first of all, that even when we became disassociated with our physical space, our jobs continued, and most people who always thought in the back of their mind perhaps they could be remote have discovered that with certain cons, the remote life is working pretty well. What is changing is that your workday used to be 8 hours to get 8 hours of work sort of done. And I think we've discovered that we've spread those 8 hours out over 12. So I think there's new mores of how we plot our day. But I think overall people are pretty happy with what they're able to get done. They miss the social life of the office.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's a few things there. First, on hours, we were just talking with my last guest about a potential upheaval in terms of the fixed hours that people work. As you say, working remotely means that hours have actually crept up over the past year. You never leave the office when it's your home.
No, I'm sitting right now in my home office, also known as my couch, the same place I bothered to eat dinner sitting here last night. You start to say, there is no the boundaries of life are blurring. Home and work have become the same thing. Your computer is your office. It's where I watch my Amazon films. I mean, there's a lot of blurring. And I think, again, it's causing some disassociation for people. But there is an upside. I, for one, had been working remotely for almost 3 months. I went physically into an office yesterday. And then when I got home, I found myself needing to start doing all my work because I'd spent my time, admittedly wearing a mask, 10 feet away from other people I saw but chatting the whole day.
Yeah, sure. No, that social aspect, as you say. What are the ramifications? People have talked a lot in the last year about the ramifications for real estate, property, etc. What about the people side of this? Because it's really unclear whether this means more management and or less management and more trust.
It probably means a different style of management, a lot more trust, but it also, for me, the biggest question is, what does it mean around culture? I mean, one of the best things companies could do is imbue you with a sense of their culture, shared values, a way forward, an understanding of the hows and the whys of what you were doing, so you felt like you were part of something. It's a much tougher thing to inject through a computer-mediated device, even video. You really don't see everything going on. You can't read the body language in the same way. And I think that without being un-PC about it, the virtual hug isn't the same thing as you got when your sort of manager, you know, shook your hand and congratulated you with a big beaming smile. So I think we're having to figure out how to motivate people differently.
Sure. And I mean, I don't realize that we're talking about this from a business side of things, but there's also a political aspect here, isn't there? That you might potentially get a younger workforce potentially spilling out of these cities long before the time that they usually would in their lives, into towns and rural areas, places that have historically been the power base for, in the US, the Republican Party, in the UK, the Conservative Party, could really mix things up.
Absolutely. I think what you're seeing is people choosing a quality of life destination. They're choosing green spaces. They're choosing spaces where there is access to nature, where they feel more safe. It doesn't mean they don't want shops. I mean, I think right at the very top of the checklist is, I need to be able to get food, clothing, etc. But I do think it's going to lead to a real geographic redistribution. I know it's already started both in the US and in the UK, where people are saying, hang on, I can build a life work destination in a much smaller place at a more affordable cost, where I also can get access to the sea or the mountains. And they're doing it, and they're not going, I don't think they're going to return to big cities with the same vigor as historically.
It ties into one of your other predictions about a renewed focus on localism going forward from this year. We've already seen businesses that would traditionally have been welcoming people after work, etc., in the centre of cities, I'm thinking the restaurants and shops and so forth, having to think about relocating to local areas where people are, which usually in the past would have been too small an audience for them.
I think they're looking for smaller, intimate audiences where the people are actually going to care about their success and future. I think about local restaurateurs. I live in Switzerland, in Lausanne, and I mean, the one thing that does go through my mind at least once a week is whether I want it or not, I need to call my local Lebanese and have dinner delivered for us, because I want to be sure I'm supporting them so that they obviously can continue to stay in business right now. Mm. But also because it's a bit selfish on my part, I want them to be there next summer when I want to go sit out on their terrace and enjoy a dinner.
Yeah, effectively it's an investment, isn't it? That's right. That you're making, yeah. Finally, Marion, what's your prediction in terms of how are you feeling about the year? Usually when I speak to trend spotters at the start of the year, they tend to be optimistic. I think they're an optimistic, you're an optimistic breed of people. Is that the case at the moment?
No, I do not feel a lot of optimism about the first 5 to 6 months of this year. I've actually psychologically, even for myself as a human, divided the year into two parts. First part of 2021, I think, is going to be adjustment. It's going to be hunkering down. It's going to be very self-protective. I think we may see an irrational optimism creep in the summer if we get to a place with enough herd immunity, enough people have been inoculated, people are starting to go back out. We've seen that in all of our cultures, Swiss, US, British, we did much better when it was warm outside, when we could be socially distanced, but still sort of seeing it and dealing with people. And I think that the second half of the year, I feel better about. I don't know if I've seen economic rebound in the way we need in 2021. So I think there's a lot of emphasis already being placed on what is 2022 going to bring us.
Global trend spotter Marion Saltzman, thank you very much for your time this morning. It is-